W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Polls beginning to close in a handful of states holding elections today. In Virginia, Governor Glenn Youngkin campaigning in Henrico County, encouraging people to vote.
How are you, sir?
Good.
Great to see you. Have you voted yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, awesome. If you've got 10 friends, send them a text.
I will.
Thank you.
Virginia's entire General Assembly is up for election. At the White House, President Biden tells ABC's Karen Travers that he once again asked Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a pause in fighting with Hamas. On Capitol Hill, members of Congress holding a vigil to honor victims of the October 7th terror attacks in Israel.
While we mourn, remember, and pray, we also reiterate that America stands with Israel.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Ukrainian President Zelensky ruling out holding a presidential vote in the spring, urging his countrymen to avoid political divides in order to concentrate on Russia's invasion. This is ABC News. The Biden administration pressuring Congress to approve funding for Ukraine.
The Biden administration is putting pressure on Congress to immediately approve $11.8 billion in direct budget support for Ukraine, saying in a letter to leaders on the Hill that reducing or delaying this assistance, quote, will imperil Ukraine's military efforts. In a joint letter, the Secretaries of State, Treasury and Defense and the USAID administrator outlined the critical need for aid to Ukraine, saying this funding is, quote, inextricably linked to its success on the battlefield. The Biden administration has asked Congress to approve $106 billion in foreign aid. Karen Travers, ABC News, The White House.
Americans' credit card debt climbing to a new record high of just over $1 trillion. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It is the richest college basketball contract ever given by a public university. Kansas coach Bill Self has signed a lifetime deal that will pay him $53 million over the first 5 years. Andy Field, ABC News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Very honored to have Chester Markle joining us.
You had some challenges with alcohol. You have done a great job getting that message out.
You know, it takes a long time to get it for some people. You know, my responsibility to every community and every place I go is to give back what others gave to me when I didn't know how to get it.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Milwaukee Brewers are being asked to chip in more to maintain American Family Field for the next 27 years. Wisp Politics reports an amendment to the ballpark bill would increase the Brewers' contribution by $10 million. The ask from taxpayers would go down by $36 million. Senators are adjusting the bill that passed the Assembly to address the concerns of enough lawmakers to get the 17 votes necessary to pass. Plans for the National Football League draft in Green Bay are coming together. The league says it will happen on April 24th through the 26th in 2025. Fox Valley leaders are counting on as many as 250,000 football fans to come to Northeast Wisconsin for the draft. Organizers are still working on the details, but most of the events will happen in and around Lambeau Field. Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers begin the season with a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badger men's basketball team got things going the right way with a 105-76 win over Arkansas State. Things get a little more interesting when they host the number 9th ranked team in the nation, Tennessee, Friday night inside the Kohl Center. NFL, the Rams couldn't do much with quarterback Brett Rippon against the Packers defense Sunday. Green Bay went on to win 20-3. Today, the Rams waived Rippon and signed Carson Wentz. Baseball, Craig Counsell says one of the reasons he decided to take the Cubs job is because Chicago is only 90 miles away from Milwaukee. Owner Mark Antanasio on where the Brewers go from here.
We have a commitment to players and our organization, and we have a commitment to winning. We lost Craig, but I've reflected on this. You know, Craig has lost us, and he's lost our community also. It's really a special place.
That's Brewers owner Mark Antanasio with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast tonight with a chance for scattered showers. Lows around 39. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. 44. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 39.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slacker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome. It is Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci, I see you there in the Zoom. How are you, man? I haven't, what's it been? 3, 4, 5? I don't know how many days.
I mean, it's always a blur, Tim, but it's always great to, to connect with you. And I'm always excited for guests, but I'm extra excited for tonight's guest because we've talked about this off and on different, shows and extended podcasts. And, you know, we have a special guest tonight, so I couldn't be more excited to be here to see you and to be with the guest. And Anya, you know, our producer and voice from the youth. It's great to see everybody on this Tuesday.
It is. It's a great Tuesday. And hey, it's election night across the country. Lots of important races. I know people think it's a down, it's not the presidential election. Here in Ohio, major issue going on. The abortion rights and the amendment there. Big governor's race in Kentucky, all kind of things going on. So if you haven't gone out to vote, well, I mean, if it's too late, don't go out because that would be illegal. But if you can get out there, make sure you do your voting. Civic Media out there is promoting good voters. Hey, and if you want to jump in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. So, Johnny, you gave a hint. We have talked about, now we haven't talked about our guests group, but we've talked about the reason why our guest group came. Moms for Liberty. We've talked about Moms for Liberty multiple times. They're the group out there, you know, who's trying to say that they're just a group of parents sticking up for parental rights. I'm out cruising social media like I do. You know, some people think it might be creepy, but I'm out there, you know, just checking it out. And I come across Stop Moms for Liberty. And I'm like, wait a minute, what is this? And I click on it and I find out that here we have Liz Mkhitaryan, founder of Stop Moms for Liberty. Let me just read this here. It says, and this is a quote from Liz, as I posted my concerns about Moms for Liberty across various groups on Facebook, it became apparent that the Moms for Liberty cry of parent rights was not the full story. I was very happy and encouraged to see that there were many efforts at fighting back against the unwelcome Moms for Liberty strategic takeover of our public school systems across America. So Stop Moms for Liberty was born. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Liz Mkhitaryan. How are you, Liz?
I'm great. How are you tonight, Tim?
We, you know, it's Tuesday night. It's Busted Pencils night. We're always throwing it down, fully let it education talk. We are great. So, yeah, Johnny, we have had, you know, Moms for Liberty has come across the show multiple times, different ways. You know, we've talked about the way, particularly in Florida, where they really got a stronghold, you know, going down there and kind of disrupting and putting out this false flag of parents' rights or parental rights. But Liz, tell me more, though, about, you know, this. You founded a group called Stop Moms for Liberty. Just walk us through. First of all, who is Liz Mkhitaryan?
Sure. Well, I'm a retired kindergarten teacher, and I really thought I was going to be reading the books that are stacked up on, you know, my coffee table. But I'm actually from the county in Florida where Moms for Liberty was developed, Brevard County, Florida, on the East Coast, just east of Orlando. Know Tina Deskovich personally, worked on the campaign for her opposition, and her opposition was elected. And so that's when these little blue t-shirts started showing up at our board meetings, and they were truly there to torture this newly seated board member. Her name is Jennifer Jenkins, and she has gotten some national exposure based on the harassment that she's gotten.
She's gotten the harassment from Moms for Liberty, is what you're saying.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So, and so, yeah, I went on to my local pages or groups, whatever they are calling it. And I tried really hard to just share my experience, having been in education for almost 30 years, and refuting some of the things that I saw back and forth in conversation. And instead of them taking pause, and this is my Brevard County chapter of Moms for Liberty, instead of them taking pause and saying, gee, maybe we should listen, they started attacking me. So that was the first time that I was called a groomer. That was the first time that I was accused of supporting pedophilia. And nice. I was just blown away. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I've spent my life taking care of people's children, and these are the things they're going to say about me. These are the worst possible insults that you can say to someone that is taking care of children. So in my, you know, after I licked my wounds a little bit, because I was really, really hurt, I thought, I bet they're doing this in other places. And so I started reaching out with just folks that I knew across the state of Florida. And I did find out that, yes, other educators were being equally, if not more so, attacked. And so Stop Moms for Liberty came about first in Brevard County, and then it quickly ran like wildfire across the state of Florida. I want to say there's, I don't know, 20 or 30, maybe 20 something chapters in Florida. And so the whole premise of Stop Moms for Liberty is exactly what you said, that there has to be some other folks fighting this fight. And what I found out across Florida, and then what I found out across the nation, was that indeed there were many, many organized efforts on the ground to fight back against things like, you know, diminishing LGBTQ community, getting rid of books, the mask mandates, all of that were their, you know, their battle points. Right. And I found that there were people that were definitely doing the work. But what I didn't find is that one county next door to the other county were actually talking to each other while doing this work. And so the whole reason for our existence is to be a communication tool. We're not out to reinvent the wheel or replace any of the great folks that are fighting against these things, but we're a vehicle that has connected people all the way across the country, actually. We're at about 45, 46 states where we have groups.
Yeah, I was looking at your map and we're talking about that. I mean, 45 states already. And I mean, this is, you know, it's encouraging to hear, as you said, so many people that were out there already saying like, wait a minute, we got to do this. But then organizing and bringing that together. You know what, though? We have one of our favorite callers on the line and we're going to jump right on there right now. L.A. Tom from L.A. is out there. I know, Tom, the one time you tried to call in, you were like, man, I couldn't get through. L.A. Tom, what's happening, my friend?
Well, hey, guys. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget it. I don't want to get away from the topic, but it's something that's been kind of going through my head the last few weeks. I haven't been able to get through. And, you know, I was thinking to myself as an adult when we were asking ourselves when we're younger, you know, why do we study history? And you never know that answer when you're young. And when you're older, you finally understand why it is that you study history. And I think that's a question that needs to really not just be saying so we don't repeat the past, but actually show where we are repeating the past and how important that is. So that was one thought that I did have. And then the other thought I had was, I wish we could instill in kids that school is just about learning and how learning is fun. But for some reason, we make school and learning, quote unquote, work. We even say homework. Maybe we all need to call schools public school learning centers, so it doesn't feel like a grind or a timeline to finish grade by grade, but just have fun to learn and be curious about the world. I think that's what they do in Finland and other countries, but I could be wrong. I think it would be a good way to structure a learning curriculum to change the whole meaning of school or learning. And it's not about a grade, but it's about learning. Just some thoughts.
We love your thoughts. So it sounds like you have been listening, though. You might not have been able to get through, but putting in a little bit of, sounds like little Michael Fullan, little Joanna Rosado there, some of our guests, L.A. Tom, they're there talking about that. But so Liz, Tom hits right away. One of the first blatant attacks for Johnny and I both, before we became teacher educators and got into this world, we were social studies teachers. The attack on teaching history, and Tom points that out. Well, before we can even help students learn why they're teaching history, here are Moms for Liberty in Ohio or in Florida, right off where you're at, saying, let's stop the teaching of, and people get mad when I say this, that they were banning the teaching of history. And that, so I think about how it has that, just give us a little snapshot. I mean, what is going on in Florida? I mean, don't say gay law. You've got college down there. Was it New College or New University?
Right.
I mean, you're like the epicenter of the Moms for Liberty taking over and doing bad things and trying to kill history. Just, how is life in Florida?
Well, I like to say that we're the laboratory, that this is where they are trying everything in their playbook. And because they have a one-sided legislature and a governor who buys into this playbook, it's been very successful in Florida. And so, as you stated, probably even understated, that they are trying to control the teaching of history. They're trying to do that with legislation. Mm-hmm. So it's horror. I have a social studies background as well. And even though I taught kindergarten, that was always like my passion. And for them to, just try to water down the history. Why? Because someone's uncomfortable with the history. Well, we should be uncomfortable with some of our history. That's right. The bottom line. And I wanted to talk with Tim. He said, what is the reason for us studying history? I was, I don't know why this came to my mind during that, but when he was speaking, I was remembering a trip that I recently took to Berlin. And in Berlin, in one of the squares there is a buried library. And you can look through a glass panel and look down. And the library has empty bookshelves. And ironically enough, this is what really cemented, my thoughts about how awful this is and how this is a repeat of history. There was a woman standing there too. And she says, wow, that's what Florida is going to look like pretty soon. In Berlin.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay, Liz, let's hold it there. Call us 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. More with Stop Moms for Liberty when we get back right after the break.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Tim and Johnny, drinking Bud Light, shopping at Target, and of course, don't forget their pronoun, them. Educated educators, talking education.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Oh, we love those new kind of intros there. A little spicy, a little bit, some people out there. Hey, you know, though, we got to push it out there. Our guest, Liz Mkhitaryan, founder of Stop Moms for Liberty, talking about what pushed you into this. So you are in the heart of Florida, where it seems like, you know, for anybody who's been paying attention, seems like Moms for Liberty had their kind of birthplace there in Florida. They did. And so in response, there's Stop Moms for Liberty. What is it, though, very, you know, importantly about Moms for Liberty? Because it's not really, I mean, teaching the banning of history and all those things, what do you see as their kind of hallmark? Here's what they're here to do.
Sure. Well, it's actually stated on all of their public offerings on their website and so forth that their goal is to take over school boards. In my county, unfortunately, they were successful, and they do now have a majority. And so things hit the fan when that happens everywhere across the country that might happen. Hopefully today will not be the outcome of that. But they, you know, got rid of our superintendent at their first meeting. We lost our entire senior staff because they could see the writing on the wall. So when Moms for Liberty originally started, it was very small, and it was just a few of the founder's friends, right, that got together. And the third leg, it's Tiffany Justice is in Indian River County. Tina Deskovich is in Brevard County. That's the one that I know. And then the third leg is Bridget Ziegler, who is over in Sarasota, Florida. If you don't know Bridget, she is actually the chair of their school board over there, and she has, quote unquote, backed out a little bit from Moms for Liberty. However, when it was first starting up, when she became part of the picture, her husband, Christian Ziegler, is actually the head of the Republican Party for the state of Florida. And he is quoted as saying, oh, this is fantastic. This Moms for Liberty stuff is going to bring all of these new voters into the Republican Party. And I'm nonpartisan. I'm not part of either of the parties. So I'm not just, you know, downing one. This is just a history lesson in how this developed. The minute that the Republican Party in Florida got involved, that's when we saw Moms for Liberty skyrocket. We're talking the Steve Bannon show. We're talking Fox News almost overnight. Right. And that doesn't come from a little tiny organization just selling T-shirts to survive. Because I'll tell you, that's where we are. We're truly a grassroots. We don't have any money coming through. So we're not on the national news yet.
Well, you're on Busted Pencils, though. I mean, that's better than the national news. You're on Lupinacci, what do you think, man?
I mean, I'm glad that we can have this conversation so that we can better one understand, you know, the origins and sort of the purpose of these groups, because it gets so blurred often in everyday conversations, like, you know, just better understanding how this not only came into existence, but is functioning. Like, that's the political purpose here of Moms for Liberty. And then for these voices that are, you know, representing not only educators, but really what we'll get down to is, you know, democratic truths. So helping sort out misinformation all the time. And I think it's just shocking, you know, as a fellow educator, when I think about the kind of strategies and tactics that are used to really not only shake, but not only be offensive, but really damaging, you know, to the conversation, like just shutting down conversations we ought to be having across all kinds of lines on how we better serve children in our schools and community. And that's something I found educators deeply committed to. Now, organized groups like this, no matter what they call themselves, do not seem to have this purpose at, or, you know, or outcome to the tactics at play. So, you know, Liz, thank you for being on here and sharing, you know, your experience, but also why it's so important that we have these kinds of organizations that truly are grassroots.
Yeah.
But speak kind of truthfully and honestly and openly about what's happening.
Because the claims are frankly false.
Right.
You know, that they are on an entire platform built on fear, and that has been done purposefully. Things like Christopher Rufo, who stumbled on this whole idea of CRT is, you know, being forced down everybody's throats, which is absolutely not true. He fueled that whole thing across an entire country. One man pushed that out, and that was done intentionally. And like I said, there are some big players that are involved in this. So the Republican Party, for one, and they are fully backed by the Heritage Foundation, which I think is based in Michigan, if I'm correct. I know Hillsdale College is in Michigan.
Hillsdale's in Michigan, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure where Heritage is. But and they are all under the umbrella of white Christian nationalism. And I don't want to get too radical here, but that's the truth of what's happening. We have the, you know, American Legislative Council making rules and putting through legislature candidates. And this isn't just the cute moms with the matching t-shirts at the microphone. And they have done a fantastic job of the campaign that they have launched. Who doesn't want to support somebody that says that they're for parent rights? Right?
Well, how about for parent rights? But again, moms for liberty, right? Moms for freedom. And as you said, so first of all, not grassroots, tons of big money behind them, big players, you name it. Everybody on that side of the aisle is dumping money into, quote, this grassroots efforts of moms who are just sticking up for parents. When the reality is that as we're hearing more and more parents are on the Stops Mom for Liberty side. And as you say, it's like Stop Moms for Liberty. And Liz, I wanted you to go a little bit more on this. You say, you know, somebody's going, so you're just the opposite of Moms for Liberty. And I hear you saying, no. We're out here to say there is a truth that needs to be put forth. And what Moms for Liberty is doing, Chris Rufo and all these, they're taking the truth and twisting it would be a nice way to say they're just turning it upside down and putting out blatant lies that are dismantling. I'm going to use that word. They are dismantling the public schools and that common good. And that's what Johnny was talking about, small d democratic democracy. Stop Moms for Liberty. You're actually saying, wait a minute, democracy matters.
Absolutely.
Democracy matters. Voices matter. Lots of voices in our public school is how we get to this shared common sense of saying, here's what we do, what's best for the community. And it's through democratic conversations, not by taking on and winning power, total power and controlling, as you say, legislating what can and cannot be taught based on the idea that we have the majority. So therefore, we're going to take over. And even that, the whole majority, it's the voting rights, and they don't represent. This is what we're starting to hear, too. You know, here I am in small rural Ohio, and there's a sense of going, well, you know, why isn't Moms for Liberty stop growing up here? I tell you what's doing it, right, is holding them back. We like here in rural Ohio, we like our public schools. And I think the word is getting out that, wait, Moms for Liberty are not supportive of our public schools. In fact,
absolutely
they're disruptive
not.
And dismantling. Our guest is Liz Mkhitaryan. Stop Moms for Liberty. The number is 844-967-2789. More when we get back.
What if I never did believe? Would it be wrong if I decided I should?
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Polls beginning to close in a handful of states holding elections today. In Virginia, Governor Glenn Youngkin campaigning in Henrico County, encouraging people to vote.
How are you, sir?
Good.
Great to see you. Have you voted yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, awesome. If you've got 10 friends, send them a text.
I will.
Thank you.
Virginia's entire General Assembly is up for election. At the White House, President Biden tells ABC's Karen Travers that he once again asked Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for a pause in fighting with Hamas. On Capitol Hill, members of Congress holding a vigil to honor victims of the October 7th terror attacks in Israel.
While we mourn, remember, and pray, we also reiterate that America stands with Israel.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Ukrainian President Zelensky ruling out holding a presidential vote in the spring, urging his countrymen to avoid political divides in order to concentrate on Russia's invasion. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is countering false claims made in the Wisconsin Assembly's impeachment articles against Administrator Megan Wolf. The articles list several grievances, including assertions that Wolf mismanaged Wisconsin's 2020 ballot count and that she enabled illegal absentee voting in long-term care facilities. The WEC counters that all decisions are made by its six bipartisan commissioners and not Wolf. Postal workers in Milwaukee are demanding safer working conditions. The National Association of Letter Carriers rallied at Milwaukee's downtown post office Sunday. Eight people were arrested not long ago in a mail carrier robbery ring in the city. Another letter carrier was murdered on his route. Postal workers at the rally say they want the post office to work with the union to find solutions. Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I had tweeted out after the second game of the year, a hot take. I said, by the end of the year, we will see Braden Locke as the starting quarterback of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, Mr. Mordecai broke his hand. And by golly, not the way I thought it would happen, but Braden Locke has become the starting quarterback.
And another finger on the monkey's paw curls.
Where did you get that one?
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast tonight with a chance for scattered showers. Lows around 39. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. 44. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 38. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 39.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW, UK.
Johnny, two woke warriors teaching and learning in a post-pandemic world. Educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils.
It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Our guest, Liz Mkhitaryan, founder of Stop Moms for Liberty. Yes, Stop Moms for Liberty. I know people are like, you guys always talk about Moms for Liberty. When are we going to do something about it? We're doing something about it tonight.
Yes, sir.
We're bringing it up. You know, we're talking about Stop Moms for Liberty, truly a grassroots organization, unlike Moms for Liberty that have mega millionaires funding their stuff. Liz Mkhitaryan, you guys are out there, 45 different states, you said. I'm on your website, stopmomsforliberty.com. Super. So you guys were able to grab that.
Yeah, right away.
Right away. So stopmomsforliberty.com. Go to your website at home. I'm on your resources page and looking at the link tree. We're going to come about this, but Liberal Rocks official merch store, you resist bot, Stop Moms for Liberty information flyers. It's there. I mean, well, yeah. Tell us, you know, again, with short time here, but what are you guys actually, let's talk about Stop Moms for Liberty instead of Moms for Liberty. Tell us about you guys and what you want people to hear about your organization.
Sure. Well, we just bypassed about 13,000 members in the national group with, you know, hundreds in our queuing system waiting for approval. Maybe you're one of them. and we have, I think it's around 45 states. I have one that's in the queue right now waiting. But and within those chapters, then there are other members that aren't even part of the national group. And so we have a pretty rough estimate of about 20,000 people that are involved in this. So it isn't just a small push. And what we're finding in the news is that we're being blamed for everything that is against Moms for Liberty. And I just tell our members, don't worry about it. It's just, you know, more publicity for us, even though we might be innocent. but, you know, it's really a one-stop shopping kind of approach to this. And as you stated, some of the resources that are listed there, we push out content daily, actually even hourly, that help equip our members to know more, to do more. And what the strength of Stop Moms for Liberty has been is the communication piece, that members can hear what they do in another district and they can replicate something that was successful. So, for example, one district started talking about, well, we went and, you know, we held up red cards if we agreed with something, or green cards, or excuse me, red cards if they were against something, green cards if they were with something. And that then took off to, we even have these little like fan type paddle things that have the red and green that some people are purchasing from the merchandising. And I will add that none of the merchandise actually goes through us. It is a member who's been with me since almost day one. And she just simply made some t-shirts for us when we were very, very small. And so as we grew and more people wanted stuff, she says, well, I do have an Etsy shop. And I said, well, you're the person that I trust. So all of the money goes through her. None of it is, you know, wasteful. And she puts in countless hours of work outside of any kind of merchandise piece of our work. So she's definitely one of our greatest members and is able to supply that. We have resist bots, as you stated. We had one about, ironically, Tina Deskovich, who is one of the original founders. The governor of Florida just put her onto the Ethics Commission for the state of Florida, which my mind is kind of blown over that one. And we did a resist bot saying, please, you know, don't do this. This is not in the best interest and so forth. And the resist bot is interesting because it can get people into advocacy work pretty easily. You can just plug in your information and then it will send emails out. Sometimes text messaging comes into play. So you can get your voice heard even by something as simple as, you know, sitting behind your keyboard, so to speak. And the other thing that we strongly push is for our members to attend local school board meetings. Because I've been around for a while, I can tell you, and I've lived in different states, that school board meetings were so boring and no one went to them. Now it's almost like a circus. So people are attending just to see the fireworks that night. Mm. And it's disheartening for an educator, because it's like that many people are really, you know, concerned or involved supposedly with education. Well, where have they been for the last 30 years that I know of?
Thank you.
They are being led into this in a very negative vein. And I often state, if our opposition had done things in a positive way, I'd probably be on their team, to tell you the truth, because they have been stellar in, you know, the followership that they've built. But I will also say they've done so with paid employees and with paid resources. And we've done it simply by, you know, silly things like social media. Mm. You know, call it what you may, but Facebook has been the base of what we've been able to launch. And this movement is not just on the computer, so to speak. It is boots on the ground work, and people are talking to each other. When I get off this show tonight, I'll be looking forward to hearing all the posts from all of our members on all these elections that they have worked on to see lots of wins across the country. So we're doing that. We have a legislative piece that we're going to unfold where we can train people to look for legislation that they need to keep an eye on. Most of the country doesn't even know how all of that happens. And so now that they're seeing the outcome of the bad legislation being put into play, teachers are hurt, students are hurt, and parents are hurt. And they're feeling that now. So now they want to know, how did that happen? Like you mentioned before, the Don't Say Gay bill. It happened because no one was paying enough attention, and it was allowed to happen. And so, you know, we have multiple, I guess, spokes on this wheel of advocacy for public schools.
The law, and that's what I mean, coming down to it, I mean, Stop Moms for Liberty, you're a public school advocacy group, a nationwide advocacy group for public education. I mean, the name Stop Moms for Liberty, of course we want to do that. But what excites me about your organization is really that advocacy for the cornerstone of American democracy, which is public education, and the ability for us to have a school system that, you know, it doesn't do everything it should do, and it hasn't done everything that people wanted it to do, but it's still the only place where it's supposed to be. The goal, the mission, is to lift every child, no matter of their background, no matter of the family's background. And the idea that this place that we call public schools, the common area, is under attack by, you know, truly billionaires attacking democracy. That's the other part of trying to get that message out. Because as you were saying, Liz, when people finally do start to feel this kind of like, wait, this isn't what we said we wanted, right, that the resistance that you all have mounted, in particularly in battles, you guys are beating it back. Because once the people hear about this in their local community schools, they come out and they say no to this crap.
They do. And, you know, recent surveys, I'm not sure which one I should refer to. I know Penn America has done it, and I think American Library Association and other big name groups have done all kinds of surveys and polling. Probably 90% plus of our population doesn't want things to happen like book bans. Mm-hmm. They don't want it. So we know that we are speaking for the actual majority, whereas Moms for Liberty is not really speaking for the majority of Americans, because we do want democracy. We do want everyone to be treated equally. And it's just, it's a shame, because their movement, you know, as backed as it has been, is really in the wrong direction, and it is against democracy. And this has been something that has been pushed by the Republican side of things for many, many years, to privatize the school system. Mm-hmm. And that's not because they think it will be that much better. It's because they are profiting from it. So we were talking earlier about Betsy DeVos up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. She is the one that did this whole big push about privatization across the country. And it wasn't because she cared about the little kids in Detroit. It was because there's money to be made in educating students. So you see things like vouchers, educational savings accounts coming about across the country. And that whole premise is flawed also, because those things are not going to help your run-of-the-mill everyday Joe that wants to put their kid in a private school. Right. Because number one, private schools are upping their tuition.
Right.
And number two, all you get is the per pupil allotment, which Johnny will be familiar with. You get a certain amount of money per student. So if a parent gets that, let's say in Florida, it's about $8,000. There are very few, if any, private schools where you can go there for $8,000. Mm-hmm. And so this is all a false push for privatization. They're calling it choice. Mm-hmm. But in truth, it's really not a choice for everyone. And so it's becoming a kickback system for those who are already benefiting from a private schooling place of enrollment. And unfortunately, the system, at least in Florida, is being rolled out with very little to no accountability. Mm-hmm. And so I swear to you, this is the truth. It has been documented. We have people taking their per pupil allotment, saying they are homeschooling, and they are buying season passes to Disney World with some of that money.
I've seen that. And in fact, one of our guests in Wisconsin, she's used to be editor for the Progressive, Wisconsin Examiner, Ruth Conniff. I mean, she came on and did a whole thing in Wisconsin. Upwards of 80% of the voucher users are already in private schools. And so they're actually just using this as a supplement to their private school tuition. You say, you know, and it's like, well, wait, you guys were talking about Moms for Liberty. Yeah, that's what Moms for Liberty is doing. So when they come out and say, we're here for parental rights, we're here because we're restoring the voice of parents into our public schools. No, they're dismantling. You know,
they actually are. Yeah. And we always fight that rhetoric that they push out. Parents have always had a right to be involved in pretty much every aspect of what happens in a public school system. Mm-hmm. My door was always open. I'm sure Johnny can testify that parents can review curriculum until they're blue in the face if they choose to do so. Mm-hmm. They haven't done it much in the past, but public schools are an open book, really, of what is being done there. And yet we've been made to be this, you know, boogeyman that are doing horrible things and indoctrinating students. I'm here to tell you, I taught kindergarten. If I could indoctrinate students, it would have been to, you know, blow their nose, flush the toilet, not steal somebody's pencil. It's just not happening. We are educators. We are trained. We are experienced. And they need to realize that what they are doing is undermining us as a profession as well. Right now in Florida, there's probably about 10,000 teacher vacancies. And people say, man, well, you know, big deal, you know, you don't have enough teachers. But I want people to remember they have to translate for every teacher vacancy. That means, let's say, approximately 30 students are impacted. Mm-hmm. So in my county, I have 180 empty teaching positions right now. They're probably filled with substitutes or whatever, but without that certified classroom teacher, that translates to like 4,000 something students are not getting what they should and, you know, have a right to be getting. And it's directly tied to all of this push against educators. Of course, we're not paid enough, but that didn't overnight happen to us. We're used to that, right? But what has happened now is our profession and our professionalism has been totally undermined by these people that, I mean, they're not presenting fact. They're presenting
Presenting facts. They're not democratic. Liz mm-hmm. Mkhitaryan, founder of Stop Moms for Liberty. Okay, so when I'm going to find more information, very easy, stopmomsforliberty.com. Check out the Instagram. And Liz, we kind of got this in the background, so we're going to have you on and some of your other members on for an extended pod is what I hear from you. Okay, great. So listeners out there, if you want more from Stop Moms for Liberty, Johnny and Busted Pencils and Tim, we're going to bring it. We're going to have Liz. We're going to have some of her other colleagues. We're going to bring on Stop Moms for Liberty for an extended pod. However, when we get back though, Tim and Johnny, you're going to be back to break it down. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Liz, thanks for busting pencils.
Hey, it was my pleasure.
The-
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk with Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
That's what we do here every Tuesday night. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Hey, got one more segment. So if you're out there, you want to jump in, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Great guest. Stop Moms for Liberty founder, Liz Mkhitaryan. Johnny, you know, and what I want to do here is, as best we can here in the last segment, though, is kind of put this in a context, because I think what happens is that going up against Moms for Liberty, you're then kind of put out there as this ultra left kind
of. It's a wordplay that villainizes automatically. I mean, who's against moms? I mean, so it makes you sound really like abusive. Yeah. And like someone who's just out there, you know, to be sort of the villain, you know, and it's manipulation of language. Not that it's not accurate, right? This is supposedly a group of moms exercising their democratic civic duty to engage civically around matters of local issues, which is certainly education. We've talked about it in past shows where I'm like, look, I'm not a big supporter of Moms for Liberty, but the fact that they're exercising their democratic responsibility, I am a fan of, and it's a reminder to us all that it is, you know, as LA Tom, our caller in the first segment, and you know, almost every week caller, we love that. Tom, thank you for listening and being part of the show. But it's, you know, he reminds us all the time that, you know, we are the government, we the people. And that means those of us who are, you know, able to speak truth to power of what's really happening in schools, like Liz came on the show and, you know, they have Against Moms for Liberty groups because they're exercising their civic responsibility, you know, to engage and really, you know, really defamatory information being put out there by a group that has every right to, but in a sense, it's really unfair and anti-democratic, utilizing the democratic, you know, process to engage civically, you know, to do damage to what we've said over and over again is the bedrock of a democracy, and that is a free and open education system. That is in every way a political issue, but is nonpartisan.
It's nonpartisan. Yeah. And that's the part you're saying. It's like, so when Liz is out here, you know, and you're out there, you're listening, my neighbor who's listening to this is going, wait a minute. I mean, this just sounds like the other side of Moms for Liberty. No, come on, man. My neighbor, Mr. Smith, understand this. What Liz is doing is saying, wait a minute, democracy matters, freedom matters, the ability to have a voice, even if that voice is a marginalized voice, that voice is supposed to be heard. And in our public schools, the idea that they are there for every child, for every family, for every community, they are not owned by any political party. In fact, we want that to stay away. Stop Moms for Liberty is an organization that's advocating for the democratic values of public schools, of your local community schools, of those of you who like Friday night football, those of you who like the kindergarten Halloween parade, those of you who like the prom, those of you who like all of those things. Stop Moms for Liberty is saying, yo, Moms for Liberty, stop. You're not taking over our schools. They're our schools. They're owned in common. They're the public good. You know, and so that I just wanted to, and not, I mean, Liz was awesome. You say we're looking forward to having her for that extended pod, her and some of her other, you know, Stop Moms for Liberty organizers. But, you know, they're out there just preserving the democratic values that make this country great. If there's anybody who's truly about liberty, it's the Stop Moms for Liberty organization. Johnny, what do you think?
I agree. And I love the discussion. I wish it wasn't as vicious as it was in terms of, I mean, some of the things Liz shared, no educator should have to be, you know, accused, falsely accused of, let alone just, you know, thinking through what that would be like.
Being called a pedophile, being called a groomer. And as she pointed out, it's like 30 years of doing what's best for kids.
Well, and just to think about, like, it's not true. I don't know where it, I don't know. I can't even, I'm digging through stuff as we're having the show tonight because I can't even fathom. I have an understanding of, you know, disagreeing with curriculum. I have and I believe that parents have the right to do that. I think it's part of an open discussion. Educators also have an expertise on what's healthy and, you know, a generative and developmentally appropriate for youth in public schools. It's part of an expertise that is multidisciplinary. So, you know, we seek input from pediatricians, we seek input from, you know, psychologists, from experts in all kinds of areas. And I think parent voice is part of that, like to have a right to express support and dissent. However, that doesn't make every parent an expert. You might be an expert in being a parent, but not in childhood development. And so we bring those things together to provide the best possible education for kids and to hear it so far removed from those issues and, you know, obscured. And I'll use this term and I reserve it for these kinds of things, obscured and perverted, right? These aren't accurate and they're actually, you know, slanderous and devastating and you know, and not pertaining to the topic at hand. So I think it's important that we, you know, we sort it out and we figure it out and we have these kinds of groups, you know, speaking truth to power. So I appreciate Liz, the work she's doing and all the good people working with her and educators everywhere who are saying, you know what, that's not what's happening in schools. Let's have a conversation. And, you know, listeners out there who call into Busted Pencils and, you know, Tim, you and I and the great guests we have on here with Anya, we get to have those dialogue. We get to have those conversations. So Let's keep it going.
In fact, you know, L.A. Tom, who called in the first segment, must have called back, gave Anya a little bit more in the ear there. Anya, what did Tom say there? It looks
Tom's got a question for next week. He's wondering, hey, when did it become fashionable to be so dumb?
Oh, my gosh.
L.A. Tom, you're out there. Come on, stirring it up.
More Busted Pencils.
Stirring it up. I love it. Thanks for everything.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.